This is a production of Cornell University.
All right. It is 12, I'm going to say 16, and this is Vijay calling the meeting of the Employee Assembly to order. Any late additions to the agenda from those present? Nope. Cool. Looking over the minutes, any corrections, updates to the minutes? Great. Seeing none, I guess you have a motion to approve the minutes.
Can you have
two, four, six, eight. Oh, and I don't count, do I? It's nine.
No, I think you do count, but we need to have half, and half would be...
Isn't half nine?
Aren't we 19, we're 19 members, so wouldn't half.
Oh, it's 10, yeah. Technically. All right, well, are there any corrections, and we'll wait to approve those minutes there, but anything that folks see? All right, so we'll table the approval of those minutes until the next time that we have quorum here. So the business of the day, I had two short things, and then just some other business that Amy reminded me of when I popped in this morning. Just a recap of the president's address. So I'll give my own thoughts, and then folks that were there, let's think about things that we like, things that we can see for next time as well, too. So the call auditorium fills, I asked Nick, roughly 600 people, and I saw a row empty, I think, just the front row and maybe the row behind it. And then folks that were in the back, as ushers mentioned, there were a lot of people still standing in the back as well, too. So I feel like it's a safe assumption to say we had roughly 600 people there. And then the live stream, folks mentioned that we had, at the peak, 394 concurrent views, and over 585 unique views over the total of it as well, too. So we reached a ton of folks. I want to say about 10% of the staff members were reached via this address. And I think my impressions from staff members that approached me about it were that it was a great event. They said it was a good opportunity for them to submit questions, kind of see what the president's thinking, kind of understand where the dialogue is there moving forward. The things I do want to go over with the rest of the group, the exec the staff members, Greg and I had some time after the event, so we did a quick debrief, but I also wanted to get input from everyone else that was there in terms of what they thought went well and areas that we can improve for the next event as well, too. So thinking about those two things, let's go with things that people thought went well. Starting off on a positive note is always good.
I really like the space. I think I prefer it to Valley Hall, not because I don't appreciate the grandeur of Valley Hall, but it felt full in a way that Valley Hall will likely never feel.
Yeah.
And it felt good to look and see like it was a packed house.
Yeah.
So that, I think I really appreciated that. I heard some really positive feedback from folks who love the ability to ask questions online and submit in advance.
Cool. So call auditorium, good space. Yeah, I'd echo that too. I think the staff there was really helpful as well. I think the photographer actually mentioned to me too that he really likes photographing in Cole rather than Bailey, which was interesting. So from a photographer's perspective,
it
was also good
space. Maybe the angle's not as
brighter
than
that.
Other thoughts of things that folks observed that went well?
I had a lot of people say thank you for hosting the event.
Okay. Cool. All right, so Nancy?
Everybody was really happy to see us there. You know, all the MCPA members that were there just thanking people for coming and helping them come in. I think they all felt very important in that moment.
Cool. So make sure EA members are present, visible. Yeah. Make sure we keep doing that. Other thoughts, maybe let's go through things. So the space looks good in terms of logistics with the Q&A, things that people liked about how that was run, mic wranglers, all that was good. So I'm not seeing any other things. So let's shift gears, I guess, to things that we could potentially see as improvements for next time.
The one thing I feel was the food. Like, it was like, it got really crowded. You know, we had some of these big lines, and I know we were trying to help people and guide them. But I feel maybe we can rethink a little bit the structure in the front so we have another table so we can move people a little bit faster. So some people, they just have to dash out. Just couldn't get a chance to grab some food.
Do you think maybe it was because they were maybe looking at what the options were or what?
Well, on our side, where we were three of us, and we would always tell them, you know, your options with turkey and vegetarian and gluten free. So we were, like, as soon as we saw a new group coming, we were telling them. So it was, that helped a lot because then people were like, okay, that's the only option. So they make decisions really quickly.
So maybe we can do something with signs next time just to say, you know, here's turkey, here's vegetarian, here's gluten free, or something like that. So it's easily viewable as well.
One thing that came up in our year, so I'll put this idea out there, but potentially so we still had a lot of sandwiches and apples and things left over, so one of my ideas was potentially just cutting the number of sandwiches by, you know, like another 50 or 60, whatever it is, and then just providing more of the soup coupons as just options as opposed to a backup. So people that do just need to leave can just take a coupon and go. As opposed to just waiting for sandwiches or those kinds of things as well. I feel like that's a good compromise and helps with our flow as well, too, just kind of get people to move. Because I think there were a lot of people that just had to leave, as you mentioned, but it would be nice to let them take away something that they can use as a later date as well.
At the end of the event, if you discharge people, can you discharge them with instructions for that?
No. Yeah, so I'll do the, like, departure remarks or whatever it is, we can do a little bit better on that.
I think we did the thing that might be really hard with something like that is if more people want a coupon for a future date or a soup, you have either equal number of both, or maybe what I would say is have the a person with soup coupons like standing outside because they're watching people not come through with a sandwich, then say, oh, do you want a sandwich? Oh, no, I don't have time. Oh, here, well, let me give you a soup coupon.
Right.
So that we're still getting them. I'm just worried that people are like, oh, heck, I'd rather have soup than a sandwich, and then that causes that issue.
How many exit doors are there?
Well, the two out of the auditorium, if you have someone just kind of standing out as they come out from there.
Yeah, if you come in, there's that little, everybody goes to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Things to keep in mind. Other thoughts for things we can improve for next time?
I don't know if it's an improvement, but I know we, just tying into what Nancy had said before about, you know, EA members kind of greeting people and making people feel welcome. I know years ago we had the EA shirts, and it might be nice to reinvestigate what it would take to do something like that again, because I think it would look really nice if we all had not only our name tags, but our shirts or whatever. I mean, I would recommend long sleeve ones this time around because we tend to always be in the more so in the winter, but it just, I think it would make a nice look and would really stand out and identify.
Okay. I feel really far away from your question. I'm like preaching to everyone on the do good in these like formal things. I can't push this table forward, can I? Still these chairs on the way. Alright, I'm sorry, I'm super far away right now. This is, I'm like reaching out to everyone here. Alright, any other thoughts on improvements?
Was the day of the week of the choice most people, you think, just that's reflected by turnout? Definitely always towards the later of the week.
Yeah, Friday.
I mean, I think Friday there tends to be like less classes and less stuff going on. One of the things that we used to do years ago, maybe if we can think ahead more so, we used to hold it during fall break. And that made space a lot easier. We didn't have to work up against class offerings, but also... So I'm just thinking if we can think even further ahead that maybe we can get it on the docket. But then I think that just lets employees feel a little freer to step out.
Sure.
As well. I mean, I don't think we had any problem this year, and our attendance has always been about the same. Just another thought.
Yeah. I do also want to keep in mind, I think these are good things to know, because I was sure a lot of our bump is just from her being new and just being the first address. So I'm just wondering, next year, how do we make sure that there's still the same amount of hype and excitement around it as well, too? So round two, so it's interesting, too. Cool. All right, so I'm going to move on from that one. Next is, so this is shorter, but it's something that's really important. Pilar and I were at the UA meeting last night looking at the University Assembly Committee staffing and then also the staffing for the Judicial Administrator Search. I'll say a few words, and Pilar, if you want to mention a few things from our meeting. So as you know, Greg is stepping down from his CJC, which is the Codes and Judicial Committee seat. He also, through that appointment, had a seat for the search for the new Judicial Administrator. Last night it was voted that they would appoint the interim CJC chair to fill in his space, but that then means there's no one representing the Employee Assembly specifically on that search committee. And I think we worked really hard, especially Greg worked really hard to put the EA's presence on that committee, considering that the Judicial Administrator and the Campus Code of Conduct really permeates all levels of the university. This isn't something that's specific to students, specific to faculty, but it's really something that applies to everyone across campus. So we'd really like to see a representative from the EA on that process, as well as participating in the coaching judicial process as well. Other thoughts, Ed Parr?
So there was yesterday the point of view from Greg and obviously from us that we really, really wanted that employee representation. We really wanted not just an employee, because then some of the points of view were, well, there are other staff members on the JA search committee. But what we wanted to highlight was the actual shared governance participant from the employee assembly who's making an effort to reach out to constituencies in that role, not just because they are a staff member that actually was chosen through their job. So that being said, we have had difficulty. I don't know, Tanya, how you've had the response from, we have a lot of new EA members this year. We have standing EA members, and we always have encouraged you to, all of us, to take an active role in one of these committees. Then our responsibility through the EA is to then seat someone in the Judicial Code Committee as well. We are missing that individual. We are lacking that spot. I don't know if anyone's reached out and actively said they want that committee.
So the only person who had expressed interest is Jeremy Kruger.
And we haven't seen him in meetings.
Right. So.
Right, and no one else. So those that are here.
When are the meetings? And
so the judicial meeting is being with the interim chair, which is Gabriel Kaufman.
Yep.
They were actually going to be meeting tonight at around 5 o'clock, 5:30. Yes, 5:30. So that's the meeting for tonight. At that time, they were going to then decide what is best for all the members in order to, you know, find a better thing. So I can't confirm that that will be the time that they will continue to meet.
At the JCC meeting or the
PJC? The
PJC. The CJC meeting, not the search meeting.
No, that was going to be December 1st.
December 1st.
So the actual, just the CJC that we need to fulfill. So if anyone who is obviously here who would like to participate both in the CJC as well as then being the individual that would be sent to the search committee for the JA, then we really would like to have someone step up and take it, especially perhaps if you have not already signed up to another committee within the EA or the UA, because we're supposed to be participating in committees. Anyone? Question?
So I think the hardest part, and I know others have said it, you know, is meeting at night, in the evening, after the work hours are really hard for staff. I mean, I know for myself, I can't do that unless somebody's going to watch my children. And so if anybody wants to come watch my four boys.
Well, I mean, and that's what, that would be, today is the first one. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to be at this time. And if one is actively participating in state, that's what is needed, then perhaps they would
be willing to listen to them. But we have to have the conversation, and we do need to get someone on the CJC, regardless of.
So you mentioned that Jeremy contacted you about.
Jeremy had talked about it in the beginning.
Yep.
I asked him to connect and Greg to connect with each other, because at that time, Greg was
the chair.
Here and active as the chair to talk about, if he had questions about the committee and the work that they were doing and whatnot. I don't think the two of them ever really connected, and
yeah.
Jeremy hasn't been here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know when the last time we saw one. But
at the president's address.
Yeah,
that was the only.
Right, but at a regular standing meeting.
Yeah. As far as in regular EA members, I mean, has everyone signed up for their committee?
So we have, I mean, we've got quite a few folks on communications committee. We've got some folks on the George Peter Awards committee.
Uh-huh.
We've got folks on our education committee.
So how about those that are here, some of the new ones, perhaps, members? Other than, okay, the CJC, but committee participation, interests, and or requests?
So what are the committees that still need to be staffed?
Yeah.
So our committee or UA committee?
Let's go with the UA because that's
UA is needed, yeah.
I think that's a little more urgent.
Yeah.
And historically, can you provide information on how often the CJC met?
So
or was it just totally variable?
It's not necessarily totally variable. I think it's, is it like?
It's very variable, depending on the people that are attending. Sometimes they meet once a week and sometimes they meet once a month. It depends on the group, it depends on what they're talking about and how they're going to see it on the issue.
So I think that's with all the UA committees, it's dependent on what the topics are that are being brought in front of them as well too. So I think that's why it's important for us to A, just get involved at least in the planning process. So if they're trying to set the dates that it meets, if a staff member's there, the staff are kind of say, look, maybe you meet once a month at 5, then you meet once a month, like, before that time, so it accommodates all the different constituent groups that are in there. But because we don't have a voice at that table saying that, it's hard for us to put that through. As the chair of the welfare committee, I mean, do you have an idea of when you guys are meeting on a regular basis? The folks need staffing for that? Yes.
For the most part, it's been weekly. I've skipped a couple because my schedule is very variable sometimes, so I can't, when I can't make it to chair a meeting, we don't have one, but we typically meet, we were meeting Wednesday at 3:30 to 4:30, and then you've ever seen me in a meeting, you know, I try to keep it open. So we're pretty strict on time to keep that hour, but to accommodate a few other people who joined us, and we pushed our meeting time back to 4:15, which is probably an event for staff all the time, but the problem that we have for people that come in late, we have to leave early because of that, and that was just kind of the in the middle time that we're like to meet. We have a lot that we're talking about why we're meeting weekly for now. That will change next semester. We might still be weekly, but the time will certainly change because I'm just trying to accommodate graduate professional schedules and students, undergraduate schedules. CJC can expect to meet a lot.
Yeah,
I would say this year because this is a 6-4 changes going on. So that's kind of like, and they Greg planned on doing a very large overhaul. I think the UA was kind of charged with doing a very large overhaul of the code anyway. So CJC should expect to meet pretty frequently.
So do people know what the CJC does? I mean, do members, would it be helpful for you to
summarize
what
CJC
does? Well, I'm not the expert, but my understanding is that they work on amendments, revisions to the code of conduct, which, as we stated, applies to everybody.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to have a member of this
body.
It's a designated spot, so it's not like you're asking to be on it. And then if that is filled, does that automatically fill the search for the JA, or is that a hurdle that would have to be
a little bit of
a hurdle.
Yeah. So
we got quite a bit of games here.
Which fact, despite the fact that a member of this body was on it.
Yes.
And was he on it as a member of this body or
that was
somebody?
The consensus we could not find yesterday. Whether or not we had it as
as the fact that he was the chair, or
yeah.
whether or not as a shared governance employing assembly representative.
So Greg works two heads pretty much. And
yeah.
Greg is the chair of the was the chair of the Cogent TJC, and then he's also a member of the EA, so kind of wore both of those hats as well too.
Okay.
So I tried to introduce Gabe over here
yeah.
as well too.
Hi,
can I come over?
Where would you like to?
You sit next to
me there. Here, I'm sitting by myself. I was just like,
why
am I sitting by myself?
Okay. Yeah. Hi, I'm Gabe Kaufman. I'm a representative on the student assembly and one of their appointees to the university assembly. I'm currently serving as the interim chair after Greg resigned. So I'll have that until there's a new appointee or however the UA decides to do it. I don't know. Are we talking about the TJC? Or
yeah,
the
so I think it'd be helpful for folks to learn
yeah.
a little about the TJC and then
yeah.
talk about what the JA search process as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the JA search process. Greg as the TJC chair was he was appointed to that. So I haven't been a part of that, but I can speak a little bit more about the CJC. The CJC stands for the Cogent Judicial Committee. It basically oversees the campus code of conduct and derivatively policy 6.4, but technically not anymore, which deals with sexual assault and protected status harassment. It is probably going to be meeting twice monthly, every alternating Tuesdays, during when the UA is not meeting. We actually have a meeting today. It's kind of an unusual meeting. It's the first meeting of the year. We'll be discussing a community bill of rights, policy 6.4, and then peer review boards for which is technically under the division of campus life, but that's the kind of stuff that the CJC tends to handle. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to hear what you guys have to say.
The other thing I would throw in as well too,
yeah.
this is one of those committees I feel that people don't pay attention to until it's a little too late, something happens. And so for me, it's important for us to be a part of this in advance of those things, so we are familiar with what's happening with the code of conduct, with what's happening in the sphere, before it becomes we have to know what's happening because of an incident that happens with the staff committee, with the student committee, however it looks like. So while it seems like a lot of policy work now, this is laying the groundwork before something happens. Other questions that you folks have about CJC?
Anyone?
This is hot open. We want someone.
We do. Anyone? Anything else?
So I had, in addition to Jeremy, Mikhail and Shelley contacted me, but they were unable to make the meeting today. And so I'm wondering if between the three of them...
If we can email them.
If we can just contact them now and say...
With Gabe information and contact.
Yeah, do you want me to send them the agenda for this evening so they know what's kind
that
of
would
yeah,
be great. Yeah.
And they know
we
what we discussed.
Can you send it to me?
Yes. No problem.
Yeah. Okay. It's that way.
Because at least we can get the ball moving with that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We want employee representation on this, so makes sense.
Is it the one spot, or is it?
So there's one employee assembly spot in the CJC. That's open.
So this is my question, and this was a question I had for the office. Looking over the website, it says there are four positions held by employees.
On the CJC?
Yeah.
How many of those are ex officio? Because, yeah, I would look and see how many of those are ex officio.
Because I know we've always had at least two, but
yeah, it's two from each constituency, and then three from the UA. One is the chair, two not as the chair. So I don't think it's four. But the the judicial administrator, so Jody Chunk-Kaplicki, she's, I don't know if it's like say that she's an employee, because she's probably not serving necessarily in that capacity, but
right.
she is an ex officio member on the committee. I'm sorry, what was your email?
TL40.
Oh, are you the operations?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's why she's getting it.
Yeah.
So, BJ, are you saying that we have four spots or that there are four employees currently?
This is what the clarification I hit, because I was just
because
flipping
I'm,
over
I'm
the
looking at the
point.
Committee right now,
yeah.
And it shows Greg as an employee as chair. Then we've got Gina is on there as an observer. And then we've got Kathy Zoner on there as a full member.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I just read it correctly, though.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the three standing committees for the UA, we do not have any EA members sitting on them. There are employees sitting on them, but not EA members.
Okay.
And that would be infrastructure, welfare, and CJC.
Did you get it?
Alright, so let me talk about,
Oh, I sent you my other committee. Whoops.
I'll delete that one later.
Yeah, I mean, that's important too, but...
Yeah.
This is the proper, agenda. However, it says we're meeting today. Wait, no, it says we met yesterday, but we're actually meeting today.
Okay.
Sorry. TL40. There we go.
Alright, so let's at least connect with those three folks. Those are folks that expressed interest in something there.
So Shelly, Mikhail,
and Jeremy. So with the Campus Infrastructure Committee, let me just read, so I'll read the official description here. The Campus Infrastructure Committee reviews and approves proposed motions related to environmental impact and sustainability, information technology, transportation and commuter policies, and any other topic deemed relevant to the campus infrastructure by the UA Executive Board. So when I served on the Infrastructure Committee, that's when we talked about TCAT bus passes, so transportation is huge. Last night at the UA, the transportation and mail services did just present, so all their upcoming plans for 2016 and their master plan. So again, this is a good way to get involved in things as they're being shaped. The Infrastructure Committee, again, it's sustainability. It's a whole host of different things that relate to the infrastructure of campus. And I can't emphasize enough how the committees are where these things are formulated. So if you want to get involved in shaping how things happen before they reach the UA as a body, the committee is where all that work happens. So that's, for me, is where a lot of this work gets done. I served on the Infrastructure Committee. Are there any questions about that?
Again, how often and when are the meetings usually?
It's the same, so it depends on the membership.
Historically evenings or not?
Historically they have been, but again, I think it's because that's when the members can meet. So if the members can't all meet at that time, you know, they can't do actions without membership presence.
So we said traditionally, so I'm reading an email that I've got from Ellis. So traditionally they've met at 4:30 on Tuesdays, on the Tuesday that the UA does not meet. But again, as you said, they haven't solidified that yet based on their membership.
So folks interested in transportation sustainability, anything like that?
I think it's a tough day to do this with only half our members here. Yeah.
I guess the question that I think we're in this difficult situation of having it's difficult meeting times, I think, and it's not knowing what the meeting time might look like. Yeah, I know it's based on the committee, but if I say, oh yeah, I'll do it, and then I get together with the committee and everybody but me can meet at this time, then I'm either going to step back and then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to either as an EA determine that we may or may not have to switch people out, depending on when the meeting time gets set. And I don't think that we have anything, I mean, it says that we appoint people to committees, you know, from the EA, but I don't think that there's any formalized, at least if I'm remembering correctly, requirement that they must. So, and I can go back and look at our bylaws and whatnot. So what happens if nobody of our 19 people says, I'm willing to, or can arrange to stay late, or that meeting time can work for me? What do we do in that instance?
Is there a precedent for that?
It stays empty, I'm assuming.
Well, they try to accommodate for the most members, obviously, for any meeting. And last year, the chair set the time for the committee. He didn't let them choose their own time. And it was the alternate Tuesdays of the month when the UAs weren't meeting. So then you could count on, okay, I can arrange Tuesday, but I know the date. As opposed to, okay, so it's Tuesday, 4 o'clock this time, and it's going to be 4, 3 o'clock on Friday next time. I mean, sometimes it's easier to know what the times are, and then you can that in an economy.
Right. Or do we need to go back to our chair and say something like, look at when the chair is available and pick one during the business hour time and one post-business hour time, and you alternate every other meeting. So someone can say, yeah, I can't be there every meeting, but I can be there every other meeting, or I can try to be there on those evening meetings, but I may or may not be able to, and do something like that, I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just a me mom problem, but I know Nancy and I are putting you on the spot here. But Nancy and I have talked about committees, and she's expressed interest, and then finally the meeting is late, and she says, I got to get home, I've got child care, and that kind of thing.
So I think it's approaching it from two angles, though. So I'm willing to connect with the chairs about that, and just saying, my constituency is different. We have different needs in terms of time. But at the same time, I don't want that to be a barrier, or I don't want that to be the only thing. So I think it's both things. It's, I'm willing to approach folks about that and saying, look, we need to work differently. We can't always just meet at 5 p.m. because that works for the majority of student faculty. Staff members have a harder time staying those hours. At the same time, if no one is also steps up for that. So I think it's a two-pronged process. I'm more than happy to push for that. But I think also it has a little bit more weight when I'm pushing for a seated EA member or a staff member that's trying to make these things but is unable to because of the time.
Do you know when the JA search committee is meeting other than the December 1st? Or no?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
Okay. Alan, you don't know about that?
No, I don't know the timing. But I do think personally that it would be desirable to have a representative of this body on that search committee, whether that comes in through the JCC door or otherwise. It seems reasonable.
I think they're fantastic opportunities for networking and being engaged, but I know that if I was to commit to it, I would be volunteering and certainly not compensated. I have a hard enough time with, we could pay for this lunch for
this. Yeah. I understand that. All right, well.
We'll reach out to those three
at least for the CJC. And I think that's the immediate one as well. But again, these UA committees are something that I think as staff members we're the least voice heard, and I think we're the most impacted by these things a lot of the times as well, too. So if you might not necessarily be able to participate, I mean, look at your schedule, look at your time. I think it's also a matter of, it sounds like a lot, two meetings a month, but if you make one meeting a month and you let them know ahead of time that you can't make it, you get the materials, you put in your information from there afterwards, that goes a long way as well, too. I would say, transportation, the infrastructure committee, that impacts staff members a huge amount. The sustainability things impact staff members a huge amount. Coaching judicial, that impacts staff members in a huge way, and typically our voice is heard last. And campus welfare, I don't want to speak for you, but there are things that are happening there now that also impact staff members in a really big way, and having staff members advocate for themselves rather than having others do it for them through, students and their interactions with staff, faculty and their interactions with staff, I think it's better if we speak for ourselves on these things. So please really consider that. And again, if you can't, think of someone that might be able to.
How long are the meetings?
Roughly an hour, Roughly an hour. For, they're roughly an hour for most of them.
Are they
CJC, I think that depends on the topic.
Yeah.
I think that definitely depends on the topic. I would budget an hour, but it might be my goal for that. Pretty intense. Looking at the actually amendments to the code and changes to the code, so that's a lot. So, but that's determined by the chair. But
yeah.
Correct.
I've heard my meeting to an hour, hopefully less.
But Dave just mentioned from their looking at their minutes from last year's meetings and whatnot, it was about 75 minutes. So.
And again, I will say too, I think it's looking at it from a that's what's happened in the past. If we get that participation on it, I think that's more of a leverage to say, can we be more efficient with our time and keep it to this hour? Because I will say in working with students and folks as well too, like saying, oh, why can't staff members make it? And actually knowing a staff person and realizing like what the time constraints are of different constituencies, it goes a long way towards bridging these differences there. So I would caution us to not think about what's happened in the past, but if we get involved, how do we shape how these committees are run moving forward? And I think that's a really big thing to keep in mind, because that's our historical background, and that's good to learn from and keep in mind, but I say new president, new things all the time. How can we keep changing that and making sure that we move forward with that mindset as well? Okay, so.
Just another thought, PJ, is there opportunity for us? Many of these committees do have staff members not of the EA who have chosen to want to be on these committees, and is there an opportunity, if we don't have someone from this body, in the past we've asked them to come in and report out what's going on and to be that link, because they're our representative, they're our voice in the room. So is there opportunity to shore up that relationship a little bit more as well, if we don't have someone from this group?
I think from the CWC, I am the person appointed from the EA, and I just happen to be the chair of it. But if I do think it's there, because the other members have to be led by the EA.
Yeah, right.
So they don't have to be sitting in the EA, but they have to be employees approved by the EA to sit on that committee. So that's the from and the by difference. So it is open to people who want to join. It just has to be a particular constituency.
Yeah.
At least for the CJC, I don't know if it's the CJC or the others, but that's where the CWC, that's definitely the case.
Was that, so I heard that question a little bit differently. I heard that as if there's no one from the EA that can sit, can we sit someone else?
No, well, I mean, they're all from or by, but I mean, we're appointing people to committees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that they're going to bring something back to us. And so, you know, yeah, you're on the UA, so you come back from the UA meeting and bring that to us. But if nobody who was sitting at this table was on the UA and Ned was our only UA member,
we would have Ned coming here to report.
Ned to come and report. And to share information back and forth.
So
is that something else to look at as well?
I think that's something else to look at, but again, I want that to be like the complete, like, last, like there's no one else that can do it. There are 19 of us. I feel like we've got to find some way to staff this body. So I would want that to be. I think that's a consideration, but let's figure out if we can do the task at hand first before we have to go to that. Okay, so that was the main portion of what I wanted to. I had some stuff for Greg, but
yeah.
Greg wasn't sure if he could make it today, but
apparently his fish are moving.
Fish are moving in that sense as well. Before I pull these out, I did just want to go over a report from the chair and then just talk about what we want to do next. So looking at our next semester, one of the big things that we have is figuring out our elections and our new structure. And I want to make sure that doesn't fall by the wayside, but we also want to focus on the president's address over the past few weeks. So I think we passed out some of the structure things before. For folks that haven't seen it, I'll post those on the website. But again, shaping us in terms of by college, unit, affinity groups, all those things. And so I think it just needs a little bit more formal action now. So folks that were on, who else was on that structure? Tanya was there anyone else here that worked on that task force? It's just the two of us right now. Just the two of us. Curtis. So I think we have a framework in place, and I would like, again, we can't vote anything soon, but our next meeting is the first week of December. and I would like us to at least present that so we can get moving on that, because next semester will come upon us more quickly than we expect to set up the elections for the next EA. And I want to start thinking now about what we're going to look like next year.
Well, I was just thinking, because we were supposed to, by our December meeting,
yep,
have a proposal in place for the structure, because I don't know, did we ever vote on the structure?
So I think it's been presented and folks have looked at it, but it hasn't been presented as an official body. And I think that's where we're at, and we just need to put it as an official discussion with a resolution, which may be something that we'll work on, just constructing a resolution with a presentation in that sense of what we'll look like next. Because I think we've just, I will not necessarily speak for everyone, but I think we've discussed it enough that we just have to, it's decision-making time, whether what it looks like next.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I don't think that it's a discussion or in this group, but what I had hoped we would have done in the fall semester is to do that kind of campus touring and get that buy-in from others to make sure that, you know, if we don't have someone from arts and sciences, what do? Is Mary requiring them to appoint something?
Yeah.
Like, what is our ask? I mean, it's really easy to say we're going to change our structure, but if we don't get those people to the table, what's our backup plan?
So I would say my backup plan now is, so I think I've struggled with getting everyone's buy-in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good, but at a certain point we start losing momentum of things that we have to do. So for me, and I guess we can have this discussion with now too, is if there's no one that runs for a seat that's representative of one of these positions, mm-hmm, after that election's done, maybe it's then other people can just fill those, and it becomes an open seat. So then, you know, I'm an AA&D staff member, but, you know, I don't get elected to the AA&D seat. There's still a position open for arts. I then, because no one has represented arts, I will then represent arts. And it becomes assigned. And so I think for me that's, it seems a little draconian, and that's on the record, but if arts folks are, you know, upset at the way they're being represented, they've been given a chance, no one's represented, and hopefully that will spur more people to say, wow, there's a seat for this. This person is not representing me very well. I should think about that next year as running for that seat and representing arts folks. I feel like we've used a lot of carrots. We also have some sticks maybe to throw in there as well too. So that would be my one idea for that. Because I think participation is something that we've promoted in a positive way as much as we can, but at the end of the day, like as we're seeing now with some of these UA things, we're getting left behind, and I don't want the staff members to get left behind. And I think that to me is more frustrating than anything else. So that's one idea. I'm more than happy to entertain other ideas to fill those things that aren't filled. But I think we've struggled for a long time with, if no one is representing the seat, maybe it's not from that person, but if there's a willing person that, and I think the EA has been like that, if you're not elected to the EA, we welcome any staff member here to keep participating and doing things. So if there are willing staff members, why not incorporate them in other ways? That'd be my one thought. Pulling rabbits out of my hat now in terms of ideas.
I think, you know, having been there before when we tried to go with that model, and Alan, let's go back. I think you and I were on that committee eons ago and talked about the difficulty in having that kind of committee structure or having that kind of body structure. In that, you know, yes, if I don't get seated as the HR representative or whatever, then there's an empty engineering seat, mm-hmm, and I get seated in that, are we going to establish requirements for me to have to be involved with the engineering folks to be that voice for them, or is it going to be the same thing that we're doing right now?
I think it's just,
I was just going to add, like, I feel like if we're, say, represented at different college or whatever, a different group, I feel like we should make an effort to have some sort of meetings with them and have them voice their concerns so they realize the value, and hopefully that can help them change and then later on be part of it. But yeah.
I think we just need to, I think before we automatically spot someone into that, we need to establish some sort of expectation or requirement.
you know, and let's face it, all of us sitting here, does anybody have established meetings with their constituency right now?
Yeah, we do. The staff handles, at the Vet College, we're quite proactive.
Right. But I would have to say, at the Vet College, there is, I mean, we see a lot of good stuff at the Vet College that we're not seeing elsewhere on campus,
yep.
So let's have you guys on the shoulder. I mean, the reality is, you know, we all come bringing the problems or the issues that we hear in kind of the hallway conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we want to do, I think, what you're hoping for, BJ, in being that broader voice for campus, then we need to spend some time as a body here developing some sort of protocol or expectation
yeah.
for those involved. And I think what we do when we put that resolution together is then present that to Mary and other leadership and say, being on shared governance
yeah.
is an investment,
mm-hmm.
an investment in time,
yeah.
and it's important for leadership, it's important for stewardship of the university, and if this person's going to be on, this is the expectation of
yeah.
them, that they're going to have a once-a-month open forum, whatever,
yeah.
for staff and their constituency, whatever it is.
So we that's been the point. I mean, even now, your concern that you just voiced with joining the judicial committee or the welfare committee or any of the other university assembly committees are, you already have difficulty getting paid leave to come to this meeting, so therefore going to another one at different periods of time would add more stress. And we go back to, again, the expectation of a normal employee assembly member and being part of shared governance, we would like you to do this plus another committee. So
I would hesitate, though. Again, I think it's keeping us thinking about what can we do differently. So, yes, it's the idea is how do we engage staff community members. It might not necessarily be a forum then. So for someone that happens to fill a seat that's not, like, their home base, maybe if you send out an email to that community and say, I'm available via email, because I don't want to create something that no one attends, but you have to start somewhere. And I think the presence example of the presence address is a good example of this. Like, you know, we kept doing the same thing over and over, and it was working, but how do we change it up and jumpstart it a little bit? There's nothing stopping us from jumpstarting how we approach staff communities, right? If staff, if forums aren't necessarily working, if that seems like a time commitment, then how do we look at it differently in terms of the main goal is engagement, not necessarily getting bodies into a room? Sorry, I'm going to go to Michelle and then back to Tanya.
So one of the reasons you may see so much engagement from the veterinary college is we really have to go do an effort to get down campus, and our supervisors and head staff have to go out of their way to continue being a member of the
mm-hmm.
you know, the main campus. Like we, you know, have to say we pay our real estate to State Hall, those people, all that kind of stuff, and they didn't want us to be on an island out there, even though some people feel like they're on an island.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as far as initiatives, has letters gone out to supervisors and stuff this year? It's been a long period of time before I've seen that
yeah.
happen, and
yeah.
then, you know, people aren't, the ones who are in charge of us as an investment into our becoming a more engaged employee may not be remembering to recognize that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And can we put a slot on the employee dialogue, you know, employee supervisor dialogue, as far as, you know, to raise everyone's attention? It's right there at least once a year for most people, about, you know, participation in employee government or shared government.
So I think there's a part of me too that wants to make sure that we all feel empowered, like you are sitting in these seats. Like I don't think we should have to ask permission from other folks in order to feel like we can participate in these things. And I say that not with in terms of like release time and things, but I think it's asserting ourselves and having that be recognized as we present what we want to do. And I think the two things go hand in hand. And I say that because I recognize that my position is very different than someone that follows the clock more closely than my position does. But I want to make sure always that we look at those two things together. So on one hand, while we are advocating for more release time for these things, we're also showing that the work that we are doing is relevant. Like, I don't want to wait to ask for this release time and then figure out what we do with it. I want us to show that we are doing these things, and I can't attend because I'm not getting this release time. So I will always want to make sure those things are happening concurrently.
But again, just maybe, I don't want to be repetitive, but not only is it the expectation of the body, so what is the expectation of the EA, but then also what are the expectations of the members? We have new members. Why did you want to come here?
Yeah.
You know, what are the expectations of both of them? And what occurs and what we've seen is in some of these meeting-heavy movements and or networking and or FaceTime, we get the same individual. And so we are 19. We need to try to get others going to these meetings instead of just the same individuals in order to give more of a diversity in the viewpoint. So if it's a continual vet college presence going on these things,
yeah,
we're going to be continually mentioning vet college and how great we are. If we don't get the other ones participating, then we are not representing across the board. So, and if we don't have those expectations bulleted out, both by the actual member and then the actual shared governance organization, then we don't give the tool to those employees to go to their supervisors and say, I am going to organize it this way. These are the schedules. These are the meetings, my responsibilities, how I'm going to work it into my own job, and just move forward with it as a informed and proactive employee. We're stagnating on moving forward with that.
Yeah.
And we're getting the same group going and participating in the same meeting and giving the same point of view. We need to get past that.
And I think that shared governance should be looked at something. Departments or managers should be proud,
yeah,
and excited that someone on their team is a member. And I don't feel like we get that. I think it should be, you know, kind of a feather in the cap.
Yeah.
To sit on this kind of like, you know, employee elected trustee, it's a big deal. Right, Alan? It's a big deal.
Absolutely.
And membership to the EA should feel the same way. And if you've got someone in a department who wants to, who's doing a good job at the university, who doesn't have any performance issues or things like that, then departments should be looking at it not as, oh my gosh, I've got to give this person release time, or they're not going to be at their desk if I need them to sharpen my pencil, or like whatever it is, that they should be like, yeah, they're out there and they're representing us really well, and they're bringing information back, and it's a good thing to do, not just like, you know, this ineffective body that gets together twice a month to have lunch.
So I think we're trying to kind of loop around in a circle now, so I'm going to close this table and just put it out there again that our first meeting of December, I'll try very hard, Tanya and I work together, put some kind of resolution together for what a new structure would look like, what expectations of members and what expectations of members would be, and then what we'd like to see as well in terms of support from an administrative side as well too. So keep these thoughts coming. I think that'll be the next meeting so we can, again, not let it stagnate and move that forward as well too. I don't have any other items. I would say, actually, we could probably put this on the record. So, Greg, this was going to be his last meeting, and we're going to surprise him with cupcakes, but then last night at the UA meeting, it turns out he's got fish care, so we want to make sure that his fish are all right, but just putting it in there, a little cupcake for Greg. It has a little, I'm describing this because, for the record, there is a Batman power ring on top of it, which Greg has been a little bit of a shared governance superhero. For those of you that don't know, Greg has served on 3 different shared governance bodies, the Student Assembly, the University Assembly, and the EA. So he's been a big part of shared governance just in terms of representing all the different constituent groups and basically just representing Cornell. So it's a big loss, but he'll still be here in town, so he's not going anywhere far. But I want to share this cupcake with him and some cupcakes with all of you. And I guess with that, I'll entertain a motion to end the meeting.
Before we do that, What are we doing about replacing Craig?
So, off the...
Keep it still going, I think.
Okay. Now, where I was like, I saw the bars moving and the numbers.
We have that one other person.
Yep. So, looking over the bylaws again, if there's an incidental vacancy, then that is first filled by the highest unseated candidate. So there's not a huge election, since, again, we still had those two unseated candidates from the last election. So luckily that won't be another big drawn-out drive. Oh, this will be
so
for the record.
So are we just inviting that high-seated candidate to come starting December 3rd? Because I don't think we have those ones to vote, or...?
So I'll look over the election laws a little more closely, but it just, when I looked at it for the last one, it just said, in the case of a vacancy, the next person is then just seated.
Right.
So I'll reach out to Liz and then see if she's still interested in serving in that position as well.
That's the woman who was there.
Yes, that's correct. That's the woman that was able to be there. Well,
yeah, just because it would be great if her first meeting would officially be that December 3rd. Month.
Exactly.
So right,
it just gets started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a small nightmare last night where I got 5 emails that half the EA couldn't do the EA anymore, and I woke up, I was like, what is happening? And I realized this is a nightmare. So this is in my sleep as well, too. And that's also on the record. But any other thoughts before we entertain a motion to end the meeting?
Okay.
Okay. All those in favor? Okay. So again, thanks, everyone. Have a cupcake.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.